Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EP. And if you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we do invite you to connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we're visiting with Natalie Nixon, the president of Figure Eight Thinking, a consulting firm that emboldens organizations to apply creativity for transformative business results. A global speaker and regular contributor to Inc. on creativity and the future of work, her new book is The Creativity Leap, Unleash Curiosity, Improvisation, and Intuition at Work. And Natalie, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, I can guarantee you the pleasure is certainly ours as well, and thanks for taking a moment to be with us. So tell us what inspired you to actually write The Creativity Leap.
Well, I did get really tired of hearing people mutter to themselves during various consulting engagements, oh, I'm not a creative type. There really is no such thing. To be creative, to be human, is to be hardwired to be creative. So that was one thing. And the other was, as I was consulting a lot of organizations and helping them to build cultures of innovation and innovation cultures, I got this feeling that we were kind of throwing around the word innovation quite a lot without actually being on the same page in terms of what it means. And the more I gave thought to this predicament, I realized I thought we were starting at the wrong place. We needed to pause and take a few steps back and actually start with creativity. The challenge, of course, was then that in a lot of corporations, the word creativity is barely uttered in the hallways, let alone the boardroom. So I went about the work of developing a definition and framework for creativity that was accessible and kind of democratized creativity. In my view, we have ghettoized creativity in the arts, and that's not fair to artists, and it's not beneficial to our society at large.
Yeah, creativity is so important, and I'm certainly glad that someone like yourself with the authority here to speak about this is bringing our attention to the importance of creativity. So speaking of creativity now, how do you actually define creativity? I'm sure we could learn something from your response on that.
Sure. I define creativity as our ability and capacity to toggle between wonder and rigor to solve problems and also produce novel value. So wonder is about awe, audacity, asking big blue sky what if questions, and it's also about pausing. Rigor is about discipline and deep skill development and spending time on task. So it's really important for people to understand that we need to not mystify creativity and romanticize it. It requires a lot of grit and effort, and the rigor component of creativity is often done in a very kind of solitary way. It's not sexy. It's very tedious work. It's about grounding ourselves in the fundamentals of whatever your foray is. And then it's also important to design the space and the time for wonder, which we don't do enough of, to dream, to think really audaciously about problems we've been staring at. So the ability to toggle back and forth is where creativity lives and thrives.
I like it. Good stuff. Now, tell us, why do you say that these are the days designed for creativity, and also creativity is the engine for innovation, and also creativity is a productivity play? Talk to us about why you say those three things.
Well, especially right now during this COVID-19 quarantine, during these huge societal challenges around systemic racism in the United States, and with the global epidemic of sustainability, or sometimes I say unsustainability, we're really faced with what I call a triple pandemic with those three things: systemic racism, COVID-19. The Earth's sustainability, and these are complex challenges. So the way to navigate a complex, ambiguous challenge is not through a linear Gantt chart. That's not what's going to get us out of these kind of ambiguous states. We need complexity to navigate complexity. And as it turns out, creativity is a complex system, and more specifically, it is a chaotic system. And a K-word is a word that Dee Hock, the first president of Visa, the credit card company, made up. Because when he started Visa, he really was trying to mimic what he saw the way nature thrives. Organizations are organisms, and he wanted to design and develop an organization that had both chaos and order. And chaos is not anarchy. Chaos is randomness. And order is not control. Order is structure. So creativity, you see my influence of this, and even how I define creativity, the wonder and the rigor. The wonder is the chaos part of the chaotic system that is creativity. And the rigor is the order part. So in order to, when I say these are days designed for creativity, these are absolutely the times, even though it may seem counterintuitive for some people, these are the times when you must be uber creative in order to rethink your business model, in order to identify different and new strategic partnerships, in order to figure out how are you going to balance work and taking care of your children come this fall when school systems are probably going to be closed and or there's just going to be virtual learning, right? So in order to navigate this ambiguity, we need to really lean into creativity.
I couldn't agree more, and a lot of benefits that comes from creativity as well. Today, we're joined by Natalie Nixon, the president of Figure Eight Thinking and the author of the new book, The Creativity Leap, Unleash Curiosity, Improvisation, and Intuition at Work. She's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, what's your response to people who say they're not creative?
Well, I really try to help them understand that whether you are going to be an incredible attorney, a really successful entrepreneur, an amazing scientist, a dynamic plumber, farmer, these are all areas of work that require creativity. And we only have to go back to reflecting on the way we engage as children. You know, play is a method for experimentation and discovery. And when we are at play, that's where so much creativity really comes to the fore. What's happened, unfortunately, is that we slowly but surely remove play from education, from work. But when we play, things stick. Play is not just about being goofy. When you think about all of the skills that are required for play, negotiation, compromise, communication, collaboration, leadership, all these are executive skills that we must tap into when we are at play. And creativity is at the core of work when we are at play. So this is really primary for people to understand before they give themselves a life sentence that they are not creative. My point of view is that we are all creative. It's just a matter and a question of how much you are exercising your creativity. If you're letting it lie dormant, then you probably don't feel very creative. But there's all sorts of ways to really reignite your creativity.
Yeah, thanks for your input and advice there. Most helpful. Now, speaking of those that are struggling or say they can't or they're not creative, how can people become more creative?
Well, in my book, The Creativity Leap, each chapter concludes with a creativity leap tip, an exercise for individuals and for organizations. It also culminates in 21 questions to make creativity leaps at the end of the book. So some of the wonderful feedback I've gotten about The Creativity Leap is that I managed to be both inspirational as well as practical. So one way that people can become more creative is to be what I call a clumsy student of something. And when we have an avocation, a hobby, something new that we're trying to learn, we automatically have to exercise what I call in my creativity process the three I's of creativity, which are inquiry, improvisation, and intuition. And these are the three ways we can exercise creativity or wonder and rigor. Inquiry is about being more curious. And when you're new at something, when you are a clumsy student of something, you have to ask all sorts of questions in order to figure out how to go left or right. When you are new at something, a clumsy student of something, you get really good at improvising. And improvisation is not only about being able to do an amazing jazz riff solo or or, you know, people who are talented at comedic improv, but being improvisational means that you are adaptive. You're always about the build and saying yes, and you are great at being an active listener, and you're self-organizing. Those are the attributes of improvisation. And when you're learning something new, you're constantly adapting. You're constantly putting yourself in this position of saying yes, and you keep showing up over and over again. And then the intuition piece. Intuition is a form of pattern recognition. And we all have this capacity, this internal antenna, to exercise our intuition. But some people ignore their intuition. So when you ignore your intuition, it's like intuition is like a muscle or a sonar. So the more we pay attention to it, the stronger it gets, the clearer it gets. The more we ignore it, the flabbier and flaccid it gets. And we've all been in situations as students when we were learning something new, where our intuition really has to comes into play to help us know which way to go and explore new territory. So one very practical way is just to dive in more deeply into a hobby, an avocation, learn something new. And the new neural synapses in your brain that are starting to be rewired and are triggered will transfer over into the way you approach your work, and that will help you to be even more creative in your work. I interviewed over 50 people for this book who come from some of the areas I already listed, come from plumbing and farming and the beauty and cosmetics industry and law and consulting, to really test my own ideas about whether or not creativity was about exercising wonder and rigor. And as it turns out, people who are successful in any field that they are pursuing absolutely are exercising wonder and rigor, and they are paying attention to these three eyes of being more curious, improvisational, and listening to their intuition to make decisions.
Certainly some great information on the topic. Can't thank you enough. That ought to get this information ought to get a few folks motivated and inspired to be and to achieve more creativity in their day-to-day processes, especially in business. Lastly, why should businesses even care about creativity? That may be a bad question at this point, but hit on that. And what's the business imperative or business ROI for creativity?
Now more than ever, when we are going to see more and more disruptions like pandemics, like all sorts of social unrest, and even if it's a positive disruption, you know, the fourth industrial revolution is here. And the fourth industrial revolution is characterized by ubiquitous technology. So if you don't know the definition of a word, you Google it. That's artificial intelligence at work. Often now, a lot of surgeries in hospitals are being done with robotics, by robots. That's an example of ubiquitous technology. And if you have an Alexa in your office, in your home, that's an example of a type of augmented reality. So technology is everywhere. The train has left the station. The World Economic Forum has even identified creativity as within the top three job skills for 2020 and beyond. So for a business to not only survive but to thrive, in 2020 and beyond, they need to hire for creativity, they've got to cultivate it, and they must figure out how to sustain it, no matter what industry they're in. It is an imperative.
Natalie, super tremendous to have you with us here today, and I really appreciate your time once again. Where can listeners get more information on yourself, your firm, Figure Eight Thinking, and also where's the best place for folks to pick up the book?
Sure, Eric, they can go to figure8thinking.com. That's figure eight like in ice skating, but it's the number eight, not spelled out. So figure8thinking.com. And there they can find all sorts of links to interesting resources and materials that I provide. They can also see a link of where they can buy the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or in any of the indie bookstore platforms. They should also subscribe to my YouTube channel. So it's if you just do a search for Natalie Nixon in YouTube and subscribe, I share lots of talks with thought leaders and a lot of content to help them figure out techniques and tools to apply creativity to their own work and their lives. And then they can download a free sample chapter of the book by going to the Figure Eight Thinking website. And then they'll also start subscribing to the Ever Wonder newsletter. So that those are all sorts of ways I'd love to hear from people.
Certainly some bonus resources there outside the book and your firm. Natalie, thanks so much again and for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. All the best.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime. We've been speaking with Natalie Nixon, the president of Figure Eight Thinking and the author of the new book, The Creativity Leap, Unleash Curiosity, Improvisation, and Intuition at Work. And for further details, visit figure8thinking.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.